Thank you. All right. Good morning, everyone. We'll call the meeting of the Point Phase 1 PID number 1 to order at 11:03 a.m. Mountain Time. We have a quorum of the board with Jay Hardy, Zach Clegg, and Trevor Nickel present. Also in attendance from Pinnacle Consulting Group, we have myself, Shannon McAvoy, Jake Downing, Jason Wollard, and Brendan Campbell. District Engineer Chase Hanusa is on the line, and from Legal Counsel WBA, Betsy Russin. Moving into our first action items, we have approval of the agenda. Are there any changes to the agenda? This was approved by Megan yesterday, so I know she's good, but anything from the board to add?
Nothing for me.
Take a motion to approve as presented, please.
Motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Agenda approved. Public comment. I don't see any public on the line, but if there is anyone that would like to speak up, now's the time. Okay. Moving on, action items. We have the draft minutes from September 18th, the last regular meeting. Those are in the packet. If there aren't any changes to the minutes, we take a motion to approve as presented, please.
I don't have any changes.
Yeah, I motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries, minutes are approved, and good morning, Megan. Right on time, we're moving into the Dunn Associates engineering agreement. Do you want to cover that one, or Chase, are you talking to that?
I can cover these. Would you mind sharing the packet, Shannon, just so I can be sure I'm looking at what everyone else is looking like? Apologize for my tardiness.
Oh, all good.
We're talking about you.
Oh, I'm sure all good things.
Always.
So the generally. First one, well, mostly good things. That's fair. That's fair. Let's be reasonable. The first one is for Structural Engineering Associate Services from Dunn & Associates, excuse me. We are getting a fair market value memorandum from Chase's office on this one. If you scroll down a little bit further in the packet, you can see the scope. Here it's a not to exceed amount. I believe it's on page 4 of the contract, Shannon, just past the signature block. Yep, right there. And you can see the amount not to exceed $6,000. Happy to answer any questions.
Who, if I could ask, who reviewed this from? Did anybody on the board review this?
I reviewed the packet when it was sent over, but so I kind of took a look through all this stuff. I didn't have any comments or issues, but as far as, you know, initial negotiations, I think that's primarily been Eric.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't have any concerns about it. I just want to make sure I understood who reviewed it on our end, on the developer side, so.
Yeah, all the contracts you'll see today, Jay, came from Eric on the developer side. Sometimes Zach was copied, sometimes everyone was copied.
Okay. So you need a motion to approve this, right?
Yep. Yes, please.
I'll move to approve the proposal for structural engineering with Dunn & Associates.
Jay, sorry. Can I? So just I didn't have a chance to read through this, but it sounds like others did. But is this for the entire promenade? Is this for the structures?
I understand this is just Chase. Maybe you can address that. What the scope is?
I can. Oh, go ahead, Megan.
I can help. It's just these
Okay.
items that you see 1 through 7 here, Trevor. And then if you scroll further down, it has big displays of them, but it gets a little weird because the page gets very big. So it's I would just call it features in the promenade.
Oh, okay.
Benches, fire pits, those types of things that are listed in the 1 through 7. It's not big, I guess, for lack of a better term. It's like certain improvements in the promenade.
Got it. And what's the contract amount?
Not to exceed 6,000.
All right. Okay. Jay, I second your motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, thanks.
The next one is the second addendum for Rios. This is for a total of $6,600. As a reminder, this is under the larger Rios contract, which is at this point over $2 million, but this is a very small addition, for the scope of services on this one.
So this is just a change order into that.
Yep.
Well, then Megan, isn't this for, well, the description was kind of structural work, right?
Yep.
Is this just in
Okay.
coordination with Dunn and Associates, I'd assume?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
think the
I motion.
biggest thing is going to be that vault. Getting that both design located and
Yeah.
the structural side of the vault for the water feature.
So this isn't just supporting the structural engineering scope then. This is more than that, right?
There's the design side, and then take that design and how the structural how the structural supports that design.
Okay. All right.
I guess the way it's explained to me is it's kind of the fun features of the promenade, Trevor, if that helps. So water features, benches, fire pits, kind of those things that you'll see as you're walking around.
I guess that wasn't in Rios' scope prior or previously.
That's a good
Is the
question.
is yeah.
You would think it would have
But
been.
that's what
Do
yeah,
we?
that's my thing, is that, I mean, we're already over $2 million, and I know it's only $6,000, so it's.
Well, let's look at it real quick. Wait, that's Kimley Horton. Yeah, we sure don't have much detail in here.
Is there another attachment that goes along with this proposal that we're looking at right now?
Not from Eric Chase, or Chase, not from Eric. It was just the 2-page Rios ad service that you see here. Just the first page, and the second page is the signature page. So we could, if the board is inclined, approve and then select someone to be the final say. So if it ends up that it was a mistake and this should have been in their original cost, but it won't delay it if it wasn't, and they need to go along with Dunn to keep things moving.
I'd be all right with that.
Yeah. And Eric, we can just have a conversation with Eric about it.
Yep.
Just have him be the final approver.
Yep.
Okay. So yeah, I'll make a motion to approve this based off a final buy-off and confirmation from Eric that this is not a duplicate.
Hey, are
Thank
you
you.
gonna call it? Are you gonna talk to him, Trevor, or you want me to? I'm happy to if you want me.
Jay, I'll yeah, if you're up for it, you probably understand more of the background.
Yep, I'll do that. I got
Yeah,
it.
that's great. Thanks.
I'll second Trevor's motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Right, thank you. And then our last one here with Kimley Horn.
Yep. So we have, I call them Kimley Horn 1 and Kimley Horn 2. So this is the Kimley Horn to the contract started at $850,000. There was a first services addendum for $124,000. This is the second one for $96,500. You have received a memo from the connection group on this one saying the proposal is within fair market value. So we're just seeking approval on this, and you can see the scope right there.
Yeah, so the if you look at, can you go down to page 27 in the packet, please? For Trevor and Zach. So if you remember, we've got this parking lot, and for some reason, in all of our infinite wisdom, we didn't have that West Road extension designed in the original packet. So my understanding is it's just additional scope to do that road. So
I'm trying to orient myself. I'm guessing that's River Range right there that's flowing east to west.
Yeah.
Is that Porter Rockwell on the west side?
Yep. And you're approaching the bridge. The bridge is that first rectangle. So some reason we didn't connect the bridge out to the road.
That makes sense, right?
Well, it makes sense. We need to add it. It doesn't make sense.
Bridge to nowhere.
Think about it first. So, what is this contract amount again? Is it
96,500?
Okay.
Yeah.
Extend utilities landscape. Yeah, and that task 4 on page 29, you might remember that we just kept bouncing back and forth with Draper on the width of the intersection. So they had to design and redesign. I think some of this work's been done. And then that temporary parking is the temporary parking area that'll support the event venue and then the retail along the promenade for now.
Is that multiple locations?
No, I think this is just that one that is just maybe just left of that diagram on page 27.
Yeah.
Between, wait, hold on just a minute. I could be wrong.
You go down just a little bit, Shannon or Jake. To that, right there, the concept parking.
Oh, yeah, it is Trevor. That makes me feel better. Yeah, that feels much better. I was thinking it was just the one.
Yeah.
So this was, were you on the event venue concept meeting, Trevor?
I wasn't able to make it, no.
Yeah, so Kellenberg was kind of in our grill about, you're not thinking about parking for the entire thing. And Zach's been working left, right, and center doing all of that. And so I was like, no, we are doing it. We have a bigger program. We have a bigger plan. And so he wants to have a meeting about that. So this will be good for us to say, look, we've hired the engineer. Here's the number of spaces. Here's what we think the cost is going to be. This is the first lot that's going on to support the venue. So this is an important work to support the Metropolis work on kind of the master temporary parking lot concept. So yeah. I was thinking this was only for the one, so that's even better.
Cool.
Zach, do you want to add anything to that? Because I know you've been working, I don't know if you've been working with Kimley, but with Metropolis for sure.
I've been working with Metropolis. I think it's a good to have these guys doing some work on what that actually needs, like all the, you know, the engineering and kind of initial concepts on that. I think that'll help us understand how we can actually accomplish the parking. So I'm in favor of it.
We'll need that for conversations with Convergence Hall as well.
Yep.
So it'd be good to get this going. So unless there's any other comments, I'll make a motion to approve as presented.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Megan. Anything else?
Shannon, I didn't know if this was the right thing to do in terms of changing the agenda itself. But I want to have just a 5-minute conversation on the bidding process of the event venue and some of what occurred there. Do we want to add it as an agenda item? Do we want to adjourn and then just have a sidebar? I'm okay with either one. There's no decision to be made. I just want to make sure everybody's aware of where we are with those.
I think we can discuss it now. Megan, do you have any issue with that?
Yep, that sounds good to me.
Okay. Yeah, we just throw it under number 6, administrative or non-action items. So we went through this process where we took it out to market. This is for the RFP for RFQ for the event venue general contractors. We got 6 responses. We cut it down to 4. There was some concern, and I don't want to speak for Mike Ambrick. She's not on the call, but we aren't connected well enough throughout. Let me take one step back. Within PID legislation, we did everything we're legally responsible to do. In the marketplace, there was a lot of concern that it didn't have more of a state PAMSA, DFCM type process. So we had a pretty lengthy conversation. We took a step back, are pushing that back out to the market with a little different framework. I know there were some conversations about what is Pinnacle's role in that, what is our role as the PID board and approving that. So I just wanted to make a comment that I do think as we go out to these different uses, you know, the event venue obviously is a big one and a lot of people watching that. But my recommendation is just that we are take the PID legislation, make sure all of that is executed, and then belt and suspenders that in terms of communication to a broader group. So at a board level, I just wanted to share that on my, I don't say it's my concern because we did the letter of the law, but it was not received well in the market, and it's more of a reputational thing. So I don't know if anybody wants to add anything to that, but we're going to belt and suspender that process moving forward.
Jay, can I ask clarity? Do you want to, when you say belt and suspenders, do you want to more or less modify it to be in alignment with how the state does stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's either that, Jay, it's either that, or we make sure that what we do gets over to the state's website. That's a big thing, is it sat on a PID website, but nobody even looks at it. So it's like the stupid bidding requirements that some communities still have, where you have to put it in a printed newspaper. Nobody reads the newspaper anymore. You know, so you meet the letter of the law, but it really isn't out to the market effectively. Okay. So I think the safest way will be to do that. And we are, I think, for the good of this group, we've got some meetings today and tomorrow on the next multifamily project, which is going to have a private component, a retail and office, but then a big parking structure behind it. And how do we contract to build those two really by the same contractor? I know when we did the foundry, we did that where, you know, the vertical private work was being done and parking structure and the plaza, but it was all done by one contractor. 2 separate contracts. One was in a metro district, one was privately held. But that one's going to be a little squirrely. And Megan, are you up to speed on that? What we call H3A?
We have a meeting, I think, this afternoon, don't we?
Yeah, we're talking about that this afternoon. But I'll just add, before we get out in front of our skis on the procurement process, my understanding from a call with Robert Booth and Mike Ombre is we want to mirror the state process where it makes sense and maintain flexibility where it makes sense. Yeah. So for example, the state process would arguably require you to award a contract to the lowest bidder always, forever, bar none. But that's not actually what the procurement code says. So to the extent you want flexibility to award to perhaps the second lowest bidder for other reasons in your criteria scoring, you'd want to preserve that flexibility. So don't go out there and just say we're doing exactly the state code today, forever going forward. Mike Ombre sent me some resources that I'm taking a look at. I think the message that Jay conveyed and my understanding as well is let's be more transparent. Let's be more in line with what people expect in this community.
Yeah.
While continuing to follow the law, while preserving flexibility where we can to make a great project.
Yeah. We're good. I think just, and not to make this sound like quibbling at all, when we had that RFQ out, we had a meeting on a Thursday, and that RFQ was due early that next week. So we got it out onto the state's website. Remember, Mike had asked, hey, do you mind if you also post it on the state's website? We had it on the state's website Friday. But obviously, when people saw that and said, oh, it's due early next week, what's up with that? You know, so I think that particular instance was bad timing. With the RFP, as soon as we had the RFP ready to go on the district website, we handed it over to the state as well. Where my questions come from is we got a lot of questions, and Shannon and Jake were on the front line of that from the state's administrator.
Yeah, about the procurement Utah procurement group.
Yeah, so that's where I'm like, we were in a situation like, are we modifying our entire RFP process to align with the state? That was a lot of questions, I guess, maybe late last week. So that's kind of the sequence of events of how this one probably went. Not ideal, but happy to make that adjustment and continue to posting it out there.
I think to Megan's point, it's a little bit of a balancing act, right? Of what we have to do and what is the right thing to do in the market. Like, there's a part of me that said, look, we follow the, you guys need to jump on the PID website every morning. Or I'm joking, but I just think we need to be, I just don't want to get into that fight. And if we stub our toe on the event venue, we're going to be fighting our reputation moving forward. So, I wanted to have that conversation as a collective group, make sure everybody was aware kind of where we were on that, and that I feel like we're in a much better place. And I will say it's good, really good, to have Mike Ombre on this board, because he'll bring a deeper understanding and perspective of what's expected in the market. And so we can use him as that resource to make sure that we're not, taking the easy button.
Yeah, I totally agree, Jay. And going forward, we're tracking that. We'll post those on the PID website, but then there's two utah.gov sites, the Division of Purchasing and General Services, and then the Division of Facilities, Construction, and Management. And so with that three-pronged approach, I think that should give us good coverage. And that was in alignment with what Mike was saying last week.
Great. Okay.
Shannon, I guess I would request to whatever feedback we were getting. I don't know where we landed as far as tweaking our RFP, but the feedback we were getting, let's make sure we kind of summarize that and run it past Megan and the powers that be of how we want to make sure we're considering further alignment with the state's requirements or requests for this next go around.
You mean like responses to RFIs?
No, it was a lot of that procurement agent's requests we were getting. So I just want to see where we kind of landed and what make sure that we just set it up the way we want to set it up correctly for this next one.
Got it.
Okay. That's the conversation I wanted to have, Shannon.
Oh, thanks, Jay. Last thing that we wanted to bring up was go over the 2025. We'll need a budget amendment before the end of the year, and then adopt the 2026 budget. So we've got board meetings scheduled already on November 20th and December 18th. And, Brendan, if you want to add color to any of this after I go through the timeline, please feel free. But our plan was to present the tentative budget. You have to adopt the tentative budget for both the amended and the 2026 proposed. Adopt that, set a date for the final budget adoption. So we'd propose doing the tentative budgets for 25 and 26 on the November 20th meeting, and then adopting the final on the December 18th meeting. I wanted to put out those dates in everybody's mind now, especially December 18th, as that gets close to the holiday and we see people being out of the office more. If we need to adjust that, Jake will be coordinating that further, but please take a look at your schedules and see if either, I think Thanksgiving is a week later this year, but December 18th is starting to get into that high PTO time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with it. I think people are taking time off, it'll be that following week, taking the whole week of the 22nd to 26th likely, but both of those dates work for me.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
Should work for me too.
Great. And then, Brendan and I and team all together will be working to get those budgets put together. We've got oversight on the financials. We'll be determining what needs to be changed for 2025 and then gathering information for 2026. And those will be posted a week beforehand, before each meeting, so we're all covered. Anything to add, Brendan, or does that hit everything we wanted to?
No, I think that covers everything. I think just to add to your statement, we will be gathering. Many of you are the people from whom we will be gathering things. So please expect that we will be reaching out for additional information to help us put together those budgets.
Sounds good.
All right. Anything else from the board or from staff?
No. Hey, Brendan, do you have 5 minutes if I call you? Let me get done here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
All right. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn at 11:30.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right. Thank you all. Take care.
Thanks. See y'all.
See y'all.